Listening test. This test has three parts. In each part, you'll hear a number of different extracts. At the start of each extract, you'll hear this sound. You'll have time to read the questions before you hear each extract, and you'll hear each extract once only. Complete your answers as you listen. At the end of the test, you'll have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part A. In this part of the test, you'll hear two different extracts. In each extract, a health professional is talking to a patient. For questions 1 to 24, complete the notes with information you hear. Now look at the notes for extract 1.
Extract 1. Questions 1 to 12. You hear an orthoist talking to a patient called Stephanie Cohen. For questions 1 to 12, complete the notes with a word or short phrase. You now have 30 seconds to look at the notes.
Let's take a look at you, Miss Cohen. I hear you took a bit of a tumble 2 weeks ago.
A bit of a tumble? Full-on pelt down the slopes, more like it. Would you take a look at this? My leg is all chewed up. I'm surprised I didn't make the local news. I keep hobbling past the TVs at the lodge where I'm staying, hoping word hasn't got out that there's an amateur skier on the loose in Deer Valley, Utah.
You know, I'm sure nobody's even heard about it. This stuff happens more often than you would think, Miss Cohen. Believe you me, in a few days' time, another tumble would have replaced yours. The main thing is, we've got to work on making sure we can prevent this from happening again in the future. Do you remember what actually happened that day?
Yes. I was working on a particularly tricky bend when I lost control and hit someone else in a head-on collision.
Oh, ouch. Well, at least it's straightforward, and we've got no personal medical history to worry about. It's just a straightforward head-on bash.
Right. I'm taking painkillers right now, but is there anything else that I could do to speed things along?
Yes. Allow me to recommend this specialist institution that specializes in rehabilitation for sportsmen and women who've undergone injuries just like yours. I could probably get you seen to this week if you'd like.
Any idea how long this treatment would last?
You'd be looking at approximately 6 to 8 weeks maximum. However, I think the real beauty of the therapy is that they have a support group of current and past patients that you could seek advice from in terms of recovery times, how quickly you can go back onto the slopes, lots of things. Plus, because they have first-hand experience, they really can guide you.
That's all very well and good, doctor, but I didn't come here for that. I came here for a knee brace. The best you've got, or at the very least, an assessment for equipment. And not just any old one, one that will give me support.
That particular one that you're pointing out is currently out of stock. It will be back within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
You'd like me to wait that long?
I'm afraid so. I will, however, keep requesting it until it's here. Let's go over your blood test results, Miss Cohen.
I'm not afraid. Go ahead.
Well, the test confirms our suspicions that you have a grade 2 MCL injury.
I did feel like the whole area was feeling quite tender. At least now it has some sort of explanation. Even though I don't understand it, it's still there.
Yes. Is there anything that you'd like me to go over for you? Anything at all?
No. I really just want to go home now. This is wearing me out.
I'm sorry to hear that. If you just bear with me for another few moments, I'd like to order your unloader brace so that it arrives on time and you can get to working on your healing.
Extract 2, questions 13 to 24. You hear an occupational therapist talking to a patient, Miguel Castillo. For questions 13 to 24, complete the notes with a word or short phrase. You now have 30 seconds to look up the notes.
Come on in and have a seat, Mr. Castillo. Make yourself comfortable.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Before we start, I'd like to check a few details with you if I can. Your date of birth, please.
18th September, 1981. And I know what you're thinking. Yes, I'm a typical Virgo. Headstrong and resourceful.
All right. What do you do, Mr. Castillo?
Mr. Castillo is what my bankers and lawyers call me. You can call me Miggy. And I'm a bouncer for Voga Clubs Limited. They're the ones who arranged this session for me on an account of my alcohol misuse.
And do you have problems with alcohol?
I don't think I do, but I bet you knew I was going to say that, right? If you ask me, my boss's concerns are misplaced. They should be way more worried about the anxiety I've had since late 2017 than this. At least that was medically diagnosed.
I don't think they'd be concerned for no reason.
No, I guess not. I've been hitting the bottle a lot recently, and I guess it's getting more and more difficult for me to hide it. I have these episodes. I go hard at it for a good few bottles, and I think all that concentrated spirits intakes is wreaking real havoc on my gut. You've got to understand, though, I'm surrounded by this stuff every single night. I'd not give a flying fig about Voga's concerns if it wasn't for my family. It's the effect of my responsibilities as a papa that brought me here, not Voga's pretense that they give a...
The head of HR called Miggy. I think they care, and you should give them credit for that. You mentioned your family. How long have you been married?
I'm not. I've been with my partner for 10 years, but I never married her. We've just had a little boy together. He turned 1.5 yesterday, and I love him more than I ever thought possible. Even if he looks nothing like me and everything like his mother.
Congratulations to you both. So, back to your employer's concerns. Was it just the drinking?
No, they ranked me over the calls for timekeeping. I can't remember the last time I turned up to a shift on time. It's caused a few rows between me and my immediate supervisor. In fact, the last time got a bit violent. Management's used to the bouncers getting a little aggro from time to time. But I guess they draw the line at violence towards clients.
So there's blows between you and colleagues and customers. Miggy, you know this can't continue. First, we've got to work on breaking the dependency. I spoke with your HR at length, and they've agreed to give you time off so that you can work on yourself. In specific, we're going to go over some coping strategies, which we'll create and rehearse so that you don't have to turn to liquor. There are two types of therapy that we use here. And I think that the one that suits you requires us analyzing when you have these episodes. What triggers it? This is called the diagnostic model.
I like the sound of that. I'm keen to get to the root cause of my problems.
Good. Our previous results are very strong. In fact, we've had a 200% success rate that we're very proud of. We'd love to help you too.
That is the end of part A. You now have 2 minutes to check your work.
Part B. In this part of the test, you'll hear 6 different extracts. In each extract, you'll hear people talking in a different healthcare setting. For questions 25 to 30, choose the answer A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. You'll have time to read each question before you listen. Complete your answers as you listen.
Question 25. You hear a morning brief in a hospital ward. Now read the question.
So what do we intend to do with Miss Lannister today?
Oh, which one is Miss Lannister again?
Bed 4, subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Ah, right. According to the notes from the neurotelemetry unit, her condition is stable and has been for some time. I don't see a reason why she can't be discharged today, preferably to a rehabilitation center in the community.
I'm really sorry, but I don't think that's a good idea. You see, the team thinks that there's a high likelihood that she might relapse soon, and I'd hate to let her go so soon. Perhaps if we could keep a close eye on her condition, if only for 2 to 3 days, and if all is well, then we proceed to discharge.
Okay, that sounds like a good way forward.
Question 26. You hear podiatrist talking to a patient about her swollen foot. Now read the question.
All right, let's take a look at you.
Oh, okay, I see it here. Miss James, you've got some discoloration on your medial plantar region here, and a little here, too. I can see from your notes that you're also concerned about the pain that you have right here. I think the problem is that you have multiple contusions in these areas here and here. The pain is therefore radiating through your foot. I'd like to see to it that you get stronger painkillers today for this, and perhaps a cane, too. I'd like to have you back to a position where you've got a full range of motion, where you're fully ambulatory too. We're not going to get that with you ignoring this pain, okay?
Question 27. You hear a nurse talking to briefing her colleague about a patient. Now read the question.
Has the physio finished with Mrs. Bryant yet?
Yes, I think I just saw him leaving. He was with her a really long time after her fall this morning. Hey, let's flip a coin. Heads, you go and give her a debrief. Tails, I draw the short straw.
Oh, stop it. She's not that bad, and I'd be happy to go and talk to her. You know, Mrs. Bryant's really quite interesting once you get to know her.
I'm sure she is. Just make sure that you read her medication sheet carefully and we don't give her one that she'll have a reaction to. Mrs. Bryant can be pretty sensitive.
Hey, it's not her fault. What's with you? You're not usually this, well, cold about patients. Did she do something to bother you?
I think the constant complaints from her have started to grate. But you're right. I'll get it under control.
Question 28. You hear a nurse asking her colleague for help with a patient. Now read the question.
Stephanie, do you have a moment? I've taken a look at the list today and noticed that Brienne Gargo is on it. I know that you treated her last, and I was hoping for some advice and or assistance. The receptionist managed to take a brief about the reason for the visit, and according to them, she booked an emergency consultation. As you know, these are usually reserved for patients who are in a lot of pain, and I fear that this is the case here. You see, I took a quick look at the x-ray you took last time, and from this, it would appear that Ms. Gorgo's condition is deteriorating rapidly, and I'm very worried about this particular operation. As a precaution, we need to make sure that we have enough painkillers on hand for today. Would you please see if you can free up some time later on and assist me? Thank you.
Question 29. You hear an optometrist talking to a patient who is trying contact lenses for the first time. Now read the question.
I think one of the reasons why clients prefer contacts to glasses is that element of choice. Sure, you can always change frames, but they won't alter your look as drastically as the contacts will. So make sure you make that choice wisely, okay?
Choice?
Absolutely. We can match your natural eye colour, or if you would like, you can try on a different shade like hazel or blue.
I think I'll stick with my natural colour, if that's okay.
That's fine. Here you are. I'll give you a moment to put them on. How does that feel? Are they comfortable?
It feels fine. I guess the only thing is, should it be this fuzzy?
Not at all. And if that's happening, please take them out. We'll need to check the prescription again. Would you please give me a moment?
Question 30. You hear part of an antenatal consultation. Now read the question.
Steve mentioned that you had some questions for me about the information we went over this morning.
Yes, that's right. It's mostly to do with the plans for the next few months. This is my first, you see.
Right.
And I'd like to give her the best possible start. I've heard all sorts about the whole process, and it's tough to figure out what's reliable, you know? Like, apparently there's a high chance of developing depression after her birth, and there's lots of information out there, but nothing that tells you what causes it or how to prevent it.
I see.
And don't get me started about the best foods to eat. You know, I actually read an article the other day that said to avoid lemons if you're carrying a girl.
Part C. In this part of the test, you'll hear two different extracts. In each extract, you'll hear health professionals talking about aspects of their work. For questions 31 to 42, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. Complete your answers as you listen. Now look at extract 1.
Extract 1. Questions 31 to 36. You hear an interview with Dr. Don Steflon discussing military PTSD. You now have 90 seconds to read questions 31 to 36.
Welcome to the Health Matters podcast. Joining me today is Dr. Don Steflin, and together we'll be looking at PTSD. It's a pleasure to have you over, Dr. Steflin.
Thank you for having me, Ricky. So the topic today is post-trauma stress disorder, or PTSD. This is defined as a series of mental activities that occurs in a person after one experiences traumatic and stressful situation in their lives.
Right. Is it a major problem here in the UK?
All over the world, really. The majority of military personnel experience a lot of things during their training as well as in the battlefields whilst they work hard to defend their countries. As such, most military veterans are susceptible to PTSD. The condition is so extensive, and to give you an example about here in the United Kingdom, almost one in every three British soldiers suffers from the illness. The existence of PTSD dates back some time. It was first discovered in ex-serving military soldiers who had either combat roles or non-combat roles. The post-trauma reactions are accompanied by increased levels of anxiety, as well as fear when a memory of what happened is triggered. Generally, post-traumatic stress disorder is linked to causes like involvement in a traumatic accident, rape as the victim, being held as a hostage during a terrorist attack, working as a combat soldier, witnessing brutal murder and death, or the unexpected death of a close family member or friend, among others. People react differently towards traumatic situations they find themselves in, which makes it difficult to diagnose the condition. After all, we don't want to re-traumatize sufferers. In sum, people who have served in the military have experienced a lot of situations ranging from seeing people dying and or killing others.
Why is PTSD so difficult to diagnose and treat?
In a nutshell, the sheer impact on mental health. If we break things down, the condition really renders patients psychologically disturbed. According to a meta-analysis that was completed on association with PTSD in combat soldiers and veterans, the disease was found to be present in almost all the soldiers who participated in the study. Other risk factors include a familial history of PTSD or any mental illness, or any comorbid disease associated with a loss of a body part while in the field. In terms of classification, PTSD can be divided into delayed onset post-trauma stress disorder and complex and birth trauma. In the former, signs and symptoms often appear 6 months post-injury. On the other hand, complex birth trauma affects women's traumatic experiences during delivery. Delayed onset and complex post-trauma stress disorder are the most common forms of PTSD in combat soldiers and veterans.
Why on earth do they keep putting themselves in the firing line, so to speak?
Usually, ex-military persons have served for extended periods since loyalty to their country is often mandatory. In the name of perseverance, they are subjected to lots of trauma, which later affect them psychologically. Veterans with PTSD often present with several signs and symptoms, such as disturbed sleep patterns, anger, aggressiveness, social isolation, numbing, refreshing movements, sweating, and pain when they remember what they had gone through. Some veterans present with constant memories of the traumatic events and, as a result, end up blaming themselves for what they feel they ought to have done differently.
It's such an unfortunate situation. I think I speak for all of us when I ask, how do we treat it?
Post-trauma stress disorder treatment involves a lot of psychological support as well as medications. Before treatment options are decided upon, a mental status assessment is completed. The symptoms an individual is having are then assessed, and based on their severity, a specialist referral is sought.
Okay, so say the individual is not experiencing severe symptoms. What happens then?
Well, in cases where the veterans are not experiencing severe signs and symptoms, they are often left untreated with hopes that they will get better in time. For severe cases, the person is given several psychotherapy treatments that include CBT or other behavioral therapies. Medication is used in treatment, but is considered to be a last resort if talking therapies prove to be ineffective. Examples of psychotherapy treatment include group psychotherapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, and eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, among others. Group therapy helps veterans to discuss their traumas, and through opening up, they are able to share tips and coping mechanisms with one another. Cognitive behavioral therapies help the clients to train their behavior as well as develop new coping strategies.
So if these don't work, then what happens? Do we switch to medication, for example?
In terms of medication, medical management involves the administration of antidepressants and anti-anxiolytics, among others. In severe cases, psychotherapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, group therapy, and medication can be used concurrently to help manage such patients. Most of the cases of military post-trauma stress disorder are often very difficult to treat.
Extract 2. Questions 37 to 42. You hear GP, Mabel Short, discussing arthritis. You now have 90 seconds to read questions 37 to 42.
Hello, my name is Mabel Short, and as a medical practitioner, I think that it would be remiss if I didn't consider alternative medicines. One such alt remedy is acupuncture, a prominent traditional Chinese method of treatment that has taken hold of many parts of the world today. It involves insertion of thin needles through someone's skin in different parts of the body at different depths depending on the areas affected. It is a form of complementary alternative medical management of patients. Complementary alternative medicine is defined as non-conventional treatment approaches of diseases in which the methods used vary from those that we use in hospital. Examples range from use of herbal medication, yoga, tai chi, dietary restrictions like Atkins diet, to acupuncture and cupping, among other examples. The CAM methods vary from the conventional treatment techniques since they are mostly based on the beliefs of both the healer and the patient that the treatment technique used will treat the whole body. On the other hand, the conventional medicine is approved way of treatment in that the healers undergo certain treatment of the entire body systems. Therefore, the medical professionals in conventional medicine direct their techniques and medications to specific body system or parts that are ailing, unlike the CAM that treat the whole body, mind, spirit, and soul. Another difference is that the conventional medicine is more invasive as compared to CAM, which needs less body invasion for treatment. Another difference is that people, not all people who seek CAM, are sick. Others do so to maintain their health or when they have sought the conventional treatment but have not recovered fully. For successful acupuncture, the acupuncturist must have knowledge and skills required during the process. When someone gets sick, the acupuncturist inserts the acupuncture needles appropriately in a combination that they understand in order to bring back the body's power and energy back or for restoration of body balance. Some of the acupuncturists use neuroscience to identify the acupuncture points to be areas where the nerves, muscles, and connective tissues find their stimulations. They then turn their acupuncture needles with aim of stimulation of the areas where the belief that increased stimulation increases blood circulation and, on the other hand, triggers the body's natural painkillers to relieve pain. They believe that for the body to work perfectly well and healthy, there must be harmonious maintenance of balance of life forces called qi that travel through meridians or pathways in an individual's body that can be assessed through 350 acupuncture points. When the force of life is interrupted, someone becomes ill. The needles being inserted in a person's body are of different sizes, and insertion is done depending on the site acupuncture, knowledge of acupuncturist, as well as type of disease the patient has. The needles take 3 to 15 minutes or more at the point of insertion, depending on the severity of the problem. Treatment duration also varies depending on the patient's preference and severity of the problem. Just like any other medical practice, acupuncture should be regulated. According to British Acupuncture Council, any form acupuncture should only be done by specialized acupuncturists and be governed by a recognized statutory body. For example, there are several supervisory and governing acupuncture boards. Acupuncture is legal in the United Kingdom, and the British Acupuncture Board has more than 3,000 specialized acupuncturists members. The board ensures that they are trained according to the World Health Organization guidelines. Acupuncture is used in several ways as follows: pain management, headaches, and migraines. Counteracting nauseating effects of chemotherapy, sprains, blood pressure variations, dysmenorrhea, rheumatoid arthritis, and peptic ulcers disease. Acupuncture can also be used in induction of labor, treatment of dental pain, as well as reduction of risk of developing stroke. Acupuncture practice has some of the disadvantages or complications that may arise during the treatment or after. They include systemic infections, increased of bleeding in patients with unknown or known hemolytic disease and are on blood thinners, bruising and soreness on the insertion site, broken needle drama, and atelectasis, among others. Atelectasis can occur when the needles are inserted deeply into the chest cavity or on the upper back region. As a result, They can cause injury to the lungs, leading to collapse. The acupuncturist should be keen when doing the procedure to avoid any pricking on clients with bleeding disease or those on blood thinner drugs. Infections may set in through the insertion sites into the individual's system. Therefore, expertise skill of using sterilized needle and equipment is paramount during acupuncture.
That is the end of Part C.